Welcome to Survival Mode Disrupted, the podcast for those who are done performing, done people pleasing, and done living life on autopilot. I'm your host, Letitia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and this is where we create disruptive, unapologetic transformations for those who are ready to exit survival mode and reclaim their power. Every episode is your permission slip to burn the rule book, break the cycle, and finally build a life that feels like yours. So let's disrupt everything that's holding you back and start living life on your own terms. Welcome to Survival Mode Disrupted. This is your trigger warning. This podcast contains unfiltered conversations about trauma, abuse, and survival. Discretion is advised. This is not therapy or medical advice, just real people sharing real stories. So please take care of yourself and pause if you need to. If this conversation hits home, grab the book Survival Mode Exit Plan, your raw, unapologetic blueprint to break free. Available now by scanning the QR code or clicking the link in the comments. Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted. I am your host, Letitia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and I have yet another guest that I am really excited to share her story. So, Sandra, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, Letitia. Thanks so much for having me. Well, my story. I was molested when I was 12 years old. I was sexually harassed at the age of 14. I was bullied in school between the age of 16 and 17. Sorry. I was sexually assaulted between the age of 19 to 25. I was raped at 22. And that wasn't enough. My psychologist dismissed me after our intake session with the words, "I think you've already worked through it all. What am I supposed to do?"
Woo! This is heavy, Sandra.
So it used to be.
It used to be. Okay. Well, I know for some of our listeners, this might be, you know, a bit much, but I love having these conversations because a lot of times we have some major trauma happened to us and we don't always know how to move forward. So let's hear your story to survival mode and what that actually looked like for you.
All right. Well, the one thing that really was difficult was not having a support system. I didn't really tell my family because whenever I tried, I was basically dismissed, or I was played down, or they didn't know what to do. Then, of course, the psychologist was not trauma-informed, so he did not understand what trauma really means and how deep it's rooted and how well people can actually suppress. Then my friends were no help. They didn't really take it seriously when I told them, or they saw what happened and they didn't do anything. So it was very difficult navigating healing without a support system. But the moment after this, I went to the psychologist, was the moment I hit rock bottom. Because I was like, if even the person who is trained or supposedly trained to help me is dismissing me, well, how am I supposed to heal myself? What am I supposed to do? So once you hit rock bottom, the beautiful thing is you are on the actual bottom. So you only have two choices. You have the choice to stay down there and, well, that's it. You live with life. Well, you know, at least you really exist. And that's about all you can do. Or you choose to heal. And I chose that I was not done with life. I chose that I still have so many dreams and hopes and plans, and I wanted to achieve them. So slowly I climbed back out.
What did being in survival mode look like for you?
Survival mode is a constant fight or flight. It's like anything and everything can trigger you. You're afraid of your own shadow, especially when it comes to sexual trauma. You lose all the trust in people. You lose all the faith in people. You stop trusting anyone, even yourself. When things start to get better and you're still in fight or flight mode, you become your own narcissist. Basically, one side of you wants to heal, but the other one says it can't be done, or is pushing you down, or saying, I told you so, it wouldn't work. And so this inner conversation is very rough when you're stuck in trauma and in survival mode. Because you have hope that you can heal, but at the same time, your mind is saying, well, it hasn't helped so far. So it's really hard to push through that, but you can. It's those little moments, those little aha moments that show you the road.
I think it's interesting. You've mentioned a few things that I want to touch on before we move into what it looked like for you to exit survival mode. And the first one was the dismissal of your experience, right? One of the things that really frustrates me, is that so many people are quick to dismiss someone's experience, which then essentially leaves the victim, and not everybody identifies with being a victim, but in this case, we're going to use it for an example. It leaves the victim having to navigate a very dark place alone. It perpetuates the shame and guilt that we already feel as a result of what's happened to us. And it's something that I often talk about because I think I recognize that a lot of the dismissal is on the back of an ignorance to the residual impacts of trauma. A lot of people think that trauma, which it is in definition, it's an event that happens. However, most people who experience trauma are then left with the residual impacts that we don't talk about enough. So you mentioned hitting rock bottom. You mentioned this lack of trust with people and even yourself. These are the things that happen with most of us, especially that self-trust, right? Especially if there is compounded trauma, you can't help but feel like, how can I trust my decisions? Because I've made decisions in the past which have resulted in this massive event for me that changed the way that I showed up, that changed the way that I viewed myself, which then leads us into a space. If we're not trusting self, that becomes a very dark place. So I want to discuss also the lack of trauma informity in people who are meant to help and heal us. And I think it's something that I want to pretty much scream from the rooftops, the importance of being in trauma informed, right? Like most people are dealing with traumas, and to be a psychologist in a space where you're dealing with the degradation of someone's mental health, and you are not in a position to support people who have been traumatized, that is quite scary and concerning, you know? But we're not going to get into all of that yet. I want to know what so you mentioned that the psychologist dismissing you was something that put you at rock bottom. What was that aha moment or that turning point for you that helped you now claw your way up from so that rock bottom?
Well, It was quite a few years after the last trauma. And it was actually the breakup of a boyfriend with me that gave me this one aha moment that I needed. So you have to understand, I was trying to navigate relationships. Of course, I was looking for Prince Charming, the knight in shining armor who was going to rescue me. And well, now I know that he doesn't exist, that I am the one who's rescuing myself. Prince Charming is still out there. Yes, I married one, but he's not there to help me heal. He's there to be my partner once I've healed or healing with him. So, what my last ex-boyfriend said when he broke up with me, he said, "I was married to a woman who had mental issues. I don't want to be dating another one." He didn't say it's mean. He said it was a fact. He was very calm and he explained that to me. And yes, it may sound harsh and like, how could he? But he actually gave me the biggest aha moment ever, which helped me then navigate my trauma. Because after he said that, for the first time, I was looking at myself and what I am doing in relationships. And if you have ever seen the movie How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, yeah, that was me. With each and every relationship I did, I sabotaged them all. But after he broke up with me for the first time, I looked at myself and actually took a step back and repassed and review all the relationships I had, and it was always the same pattern, which gave me a lot of insight in myself. And then I started to question those patterns. Why am I doing this? And this was the beginning of my actual healing journey, because healing from trauma, it's not rocket science. It's being aware of your triggers. It's being open to understanding your triggers. And through the understanding, you can heal. It's a long journey if you do that alone. It took me 20 years. I did my whole journey alone and it took really long. Now, when I help people through trauma healing, it doesn't take quite this long, of course, but yes, it took a while, but it was the greatest journey I could ever take. You know, when you look back and you have those questions in those interviews that are saying, okay, if you could go back to your younger self, what would you tell them? What would you change? And the question, what would I change? Absolutely nothing. Because my journey and my healing brought me to who I am today. So even though trauma is difficult and it can be excruciating getting through, it's worth it because you learn so much about yourself, you grow so much beyond your own limits, you get to know another version of you didn't even know existed.
You said so much again.
Sorry.
Listen, the one thing that always comes up in this conversation is the awareness, right? And I developed a process for accident survival mode, and phase one is self-awareness. Right?
Yes.
You cannot change what you cannot see. And another thing that you said was, I had to look at the patterns. I did a keynote recently, and it was talking about the invisible scars of trauma. And one of my lines in that keynote was, I escaped the chaos, but I held on to the patterns, right?
Yes.
And that keeps us in this perpetual cycle, right? Of re almost reoffending ourselves because we are stuck in patterns that no longer serve us, that don't move us any further along in the journey. It keeps us in that autopilot of living. We just exist because we hold on to these patterns. Oftentimes, we develop these patterns as a way to survive, but it's really important to recognize that the person you had to be in order to survive is not the same person you have to be when you're thriving. And we have to learn to let go of the survivor in us, right? And society doesn't necessarily encourage that, right? Like, you have
Yeah.
big people celebrating the fact that I survived, but it's not the final destination. And that's why oftentimes we celebrate the fact that we survived, but all we do is continue to survive.
Exactly.
Yeah, so you now work with clients, helping them navigate their trauma. What does your process look like working with clients to help them exit survival mode as well?
Well, in a nutshell, I meet my clients where they're at and I grow with them. This means that if a client comes to me and is looking for trauma healing because they have not been able to get to heal the deep trauma that have been suppressed for decades, and one day it just comes up. Everything is flooding into your consciousness and there is no suppressing it anymore, which is what happens ultimately when you suppress your trauma. So then I start with deep trauma healing. I use a modality called traumatic incident reduction. It is widely unheard of, and yet it's the most amazing thing. It is so gentle and yet quick. It is specifically designed for people with deep trauma and PTSD. So when I say you can heal PTSD, I actually mean it because I have seen it. I have seen it in my clients, and I do it in so easy. It amazes me every time. Then I offer trauma coaching. So for people with to release limiting beliefs of self-sabotaging behavior and really growing into the person you're supposed to be, into your true authentic self. And that journey in itself is so beautiful. It's amazing to see once the spark returns into my client's eyes, when they have this big aha moment, they release this heavy trauma, and all of a sudden they feel so light, everything makes sense, and they're smiling, their eyes literally sparkle, and that's so worth it to see. That's so humbling because they've been through hell and they won. And this is the most amazing thing. I get goosebumps thinking about that.
It's so powerful when we are able to take what we learned and help someone else navigate the path forward. I've always said, I actually think that's what self-actualization is, learning how to navigate, but then reaching back to help other people navigate what that looks like. So, as someone who works with people with trauma, what do you think is the biggest misconception about survival mode and the journey out of it?
I think the biggest misconception is that it can't be done. Because when you're stuck in survival mode in deep trauma, you cannot fathom how you would feel if you were free of it. You have to actually get there to experience it. It's one of those journeys where you have to learn everything first, and then you look back and say, oh, now I understand. And yeah, so it really depends on the person if they are courageous enough to challenge their belief that trauma cannot be healed and actually start and do it, and then be open up to this amazing world, the amazing possibilities you have once you're trauma free. Or if you say, well, I don't think this is for me, and you stay where you are. So the greatest misconception is that it cannot be healed. This includes PTSD, CPTSD, anxiety attacks, panic attacks, etc. All of that includes this. Yes, all of that can be healed, but you have to at least give it the benefit of the doubt.
I agree. Our belief in things is what determines our success. If we aren't fully tuned into the process, is not going to work. There is this term that you almost have to be delusional sometimes, because that is really moving beyond what you know to be true, right? And trust in the process. But one of the things that you mentioned was having to, in the process of changing the habits that we have, right? We have to reprogram what we've been conditioned to learn and know. Like, I think a huge part of healing is indeed the unlearning. What's your
Yes.
thoughts on that?
I totally agree. This is part of my work, helping my clients shift their mindset and learning what they believe was true and realizing that it's not. And this can be, I don't know, those words of wisdom we receive from our parents and grandparents who were in a completely different time than we are, realizing that all those beliefs stem from trauma. And we were raised from trauma. And unless we heal our trauma, we will raise our children from trauma. But just imagine how quickly the world will transform if we heal our trauma and raise our children from a place of empowerment. Because once you heal your trauma, you know what can be done. You're not constricting yourself anymore. No, you go out there and you try it. And if you fail, one way it doesn't work. But you no longer punish yourself for failing because failure just means it doesn't work this way, so let's try another one. This is all part of trauma healing. Really, trauma is holding us back from so much. We don't even realize that.
Give us an example of ways that trauma is holding us back and we don't realize. A lot comes to mind, but I would love to hear an
Okay.
example from you.
Let me think. A good example. Okay, so I was brought up with the belief self-pride stinks. I was not allowed to be proud of myself. I could be proud of everybody else, but not of myself. So let's say I was in school and I had an A in biology. I was so happy, and I told my grandma, I'm so proud of myself, I have an A. Ooh, careful, don't say that, the ceiling is coming down. So, and that was confusing because whenever I wanted to be proud of myself, I felt guilty. So, really releasing that took a long time. Now, when I grew up, I always have felt the need to say, are you proud of me? Did I do a good job? Because I was not allowed to validate it for myself. So, I needed a validation from others. This is trauma. Because everything that dims your light is trauma. This belief was traumatizing me because it didn't allow me to express myself in my most authentic self at that moment and how I felt, being proud of myself for doing such a good job. Now, since I healed that with my son, instead of only saying, I'm proud of you, I'm saying, you must be so proud of yourself, so that he doesn't even get to the point where I used to be.
That's actually a really powerful example, Sandra, because we often don't recognize how our conditioning and our upbringing impacts the way that we show up in life, right? And think of, I grew up feeling like I was too much because people felt like, you talk too much. You have too much attitude. I grew up around a lot of older people, so I was very mature for my age. You're way beyond your years. So every time I showed up authentically, there was someone there to put me back in my place. And as I evolved and I grew, I then became my own self-containment, right? I actually used to describe myself as a self-contained hurricane because
I
there was
like
this
that.
recognition that if I show my full self, people can't handle it. So I would contain myself. I would silence myself. I would check my attitude. I would check how I move my head and, how I'm talking because I was conditioned to make people around me comfortable. I was conditioned to mute myself. I lived like that for years. And the only time it really became apparent to me was when I started my business. Now it's like, why can't I show up in my fullest? Well, the reality is, I've literally just spent 30 years self-containing myself, right? And we day to day probably don't process how we are conditioned. It becomes our norm, but those norms then place us in survival mode because it perpetuates this autopilot. It perpetuates this cookie cutter version of yourself that you need to be in order to be accepted in society. And how dangerous is that?
It is. Let me ask you something. The self-contained volcano, how exhausting was that on a daily basis, being this contained,
It was
not
very
being who you
exhausting.
are?
Very exhausting. I am not tired now of showing up with my fullness, right? The first version of my memoir was actually called The Strength of a Hurricane because it took me being able to lean into this big personality, this big in-your-face persona that have been silenced for so long. But this person that I've now allowed myself to authentically develop, it doesn't need permission. I don't need permission anymore. And there is so much freedom in that, right?
And so, sorry.
Go ahead,
And
Megan.
it shows that trying to contain yourself and being who you're not is more exhausting, actually being who you are and just saying, well, this is who I am, take it or leave it. Because it
Absolutely.
doesn't take any effort being who you are. It takes
None
every effort to
whatsoever.
be who you're not.
Yep. And we don't really realize that on the subconscious level, how much effort it actually takes to try to mirror what would make other people comfortable.
Yes, exactly.
I've loved this conversation, Sandra,
Me
honestly.
too.
Yeah, so where can people find you online?
Well, people can find me on my website, riseaboveyourstory.com. They can find me on Facebook under the same name. They can find me on YouTube under Sandra Kuz Unfiltered. And they can find my book, Journey to Yourself, How to Heal from Trauma on Amazon.
Okay, lovely. All of that will be in the show notes. So before we wrap it all up, Sandra, I would like for you to give the audience a takeaway, something that they can action after as a result of listening to you today.
Trauma is not a life sentence. You have the power to heal within you. It's all there. You just have to dig deep and take it.
I love that. Listeners, again, another great episode for you to sit back and consider. You know, oftentimes we are conditioned to show up small, and people may not always identify with what we've been through, and we may find ourselves alone, but that's not an excuse to stay stuck in survival mode. And I just want to remind you, you were not built to break. You damn sure were not just built to survive. Disrupt the cycle, reclaim your life, and thrive on your own terms. I will see you again next week.